What's up, guys? This is Zach, and you have just stepped into the dark blue. I'm joining you today here live from, or direct from, the Sheath headquarters here in San Antonio, Texas. So Sheath Underwear headquarters. These guys were awesome enough to allow me some space to do this podcast episode and let me into their COVID circle. And so pretty good stuff. And I'm actually talking to a man named Sean Coffin today. And this is pretty cool stuff because, you know, this is another, I just love these examples of like the whole internet creating a positive community. So Sean is doing something very similar to Into the Dark Blue on the other side of the world from Australia. So yeah, I'm just really excited to talk to Sean today and about what he's doing with Blokes and Brews down in Melbourne, Australia. And so, it's just really, really cool stuff. Just, I love seeing so many guys getting out there and trying to start this conversation, creating space for men to work through their shit and like move forward with their lives in a positive way. So, how you doing today, Sean?
Yeah, good, mate. It's not too bad. It's early in the morning, so it's 9 o'clock our time. Great time for a beer. So yeah, my day's only started, but it's so far it's good.
Yeah, but it's Saturday, right?
Yes, it's Saturday the 12th. So yeah, 12th of September over here. So you guys are, and I guess, and that reminded me, you know, to do 11th of September for you guys.
Yes, it is. So yeah, cheers to that. Thank you.
Cheers to that.
Hey, check this out. If you haven't tried Sheath underwear yet, I can tell you from experience, it will change your life. It's got not one, but two pouches for your bits and pieces. It's basically like upgrading from a studio apartment to a two-bedroom house for your junk. I won't wear anything else at this point. I've replaced my entire underwear drawer with Sheath. So if you want to try it out for yourself, you can get 25% off by going to sheathunderwear.com and use promo code DARKBLUE, all caps, DARKBLUE.
How is it in the future?
Yeah, good. Everything's pretty much the same. nothing's really happened. So, you know, you can go to sleep calm tonight knowing that 2020 hasn't escalated tomorrow morning.
Okay, good to know. So 15 hours from now, things are okay. Well, cool, man. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're drinking today while I pop mine open here.
Cool. So I've just got the Deeds Draft. So draft our standard kind of like typical beer that we've got. So it's good for a 9 a.m. beer. It's not too full on. But Deeds Brewing is in Glen Iris, and it's actually about 5K from me. So it's in my bubble okay. For COVID, and they just do amazing beer. The draft is probably their simpler one. They're actually known for a lot of 440ml cans of just bright, all these different colors, all these different flavors, and just really experimental. So I love following breweries that just push the limits, but are constantly innovating. Mm. So it gives me something to try. And be excited about it. That's why I love the industry.
That's cool, man. That's great.
What do you got?
I've got a Carbach Light Circus Hazy IPA. So
that looks nice and colorful.
Yeah, absolutely. Just like you were talking about, it seems a little experimental when you read the label. But then I've got it's not the haziest of IPAs that I've ever seen, but it's okay. You know, it's a little thick. But yeah, I can smell it from here. It smells super fruity. And so, oh man, it's actually it's a really refreshing IPA. It's not really intense. A lot of times they're like so bitter, you know? But this is really nice. It's got a really like kind of a sweet, calm finish. And it doesn't feel like heavy on my stomach, which is always a plus.
It's handy, so you can have a couple more. But yeah, that's why I like the Deeds Draft at 9 o'clock is good because of it's fresh, but like it's main thing, it's standard, but it tastes fresh.
Oh yeah, that's awesome. Is it like a lager or is it?
No, draft. So I think it's a type of ale.
Oh, okay.
I was actually reading this like yesterday, and then I forgot about it through work, but Yeah, our standard kind of beers that we drink at drafts in Australia. And then this is just their kind of probably a go entry level. But the good thing is, with especially craft beer, is it's fresh. So it's not, you can just, a lot of our then standard drafts, our corporate beers, I think you call them, they just don't taste fresh because they're made for, you know, 12 months. They've got all the preservative lives and stuff like matches. That. So this is what draft would have tasted like 30, 40 years ago when they used to have, you know, the 3 month expiry to go through. So it's a, it's good.
Perfect. Yeah. And that's like the most most masculine can I've ever seen.
just black and white.
And white can. And it's like a deep black too. It's great. You guys check it out online. It's called Deeds Draft. Like Mr. Deeds Goes to Washington. So Deeds Draft.
And check out, Deeds Brewing on Instagram, and you'll see all their other beers, which are just absolutely amazing as well.
Yeah, cool, man. So this is something that Sean and I really have in common, because so Sean's actually getting into the brewery spaces down there in Australia, or was getting into the brewery spaces before COVID happened. And actually getting in there and having conversations with men in the breweries, talking to them about just dealing with their stuff, working through their emotions. And so we're going to hear a little bit more about that today, a little bit more about why Sean is doing this, like what brought him to this space where he felt like it was necessary. How do you feel about getting into your story a little bit, Sean? Tell us why you're doing what you do.
Yeah, not a problem. And as I said, thanks for having us on. It's just cool to, I'd love to go come to Texas. So, it's really cool. So my background, I grew up with mental health issues. But I also grew up single mum family with an older sister. So I got a lot of feminine. And then it wasn't until I played footy in Australia, Aussie rules, that I've really hung around blokes.
Can you do all of us Americans a favor and tell us what footy is?
Aussie rules. So it's, think of NFL, but no padding.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's right. Because you guys are that hardcore down there.
Was that stupid, I guess? we've got the irony. So we also have cricket, which is like baseball. But we've got the irony where in summer, our sport has full clothing. So ankle, pants and long sleeve shirts. And in winter, we've just got singlets and shorts. Footy's just like, it's a bit like NFL with no padding because of, We haven't got to that level of protecting ourselves and being smart yet.
So is it more similar to rugby, or is it like...
Yeah, so it's like... It's like rugby, a lot more kicking. Mix of maybe rugby and soccer. The tackling, the physicality of rugby, but you kind of like, you pass and kick in that like soccer to get it up and up the ground.
Okay.
Or kicking, like NFL, but kicking instead of throwing.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. I'm on board.
So this is so yes, and that's, it's obviously very blokey culture. Man culture. Then... Through that, just growing up, I had a lot of then confusion and thinking. So I'm a very deep thinker. When I got to university, got into the student side of things, like the student council representative type thing, and had a lot of men that would come to me with problems. So I'm quite open about my mental health stuff. So people felt comfortable coming to me with their issues. And I realized that there wasn't anything there for them. But we had other officers, like a men's women's officer and all that. So it just kind of really struck with me that if we don't have anyone there for them, how are we going to solve any problems, and how are we going to change a culture if there's no one actually doing it? So fast forward a couple of years and went through some personal stuff through a divorce, and then met a new lady who is a massive supporter of what I do, and I did a lot of personal work to get to being, have that level of relationship. Mm-hmm. So I just thought, started putting my own thoughts onto paper, and it resonated. And then just thinking, okay, well, how do I approach this to get guys to feel comfortable chatting? And let's go to where they feel comfortable, and that's a brewery.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, man.
So,
It's kind of crazy because that's a very similar kind of path that I took as well to this whole thing is, you know, went through kind of a difficult relationship with somebody and went through divorce. And then after divorce, worked on myself for a while and still working on myself every day. and it feels like it's a never ending process.
It is.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, working through and working on myself and all of that, I was just like, you know what? There's no way I'm the only guy that's dealing with this and doesn't have somebody to talk to. And so that's really where me and my buddy Josh, we came up with the whole idea for the podcast. And it's kind of evolved from there and become something that's, I mean, you know, just very similar to what you're doing over there, just giving guys a place to talk.
Well, that's great that you're doing that. That's why, you know, obviously how I found you. And with that, it's understanding that doing the inner work is a constant process, but it's what guys should be doing. It's the flipping the head of not, oh, it's feminine to do the work, or, you know, it's not what guys do. You kind of go, well, at the end of the day, one of the things that guys love doing is solving problems and progress, you know, achieving stuff.
Right.
To me, it's like, you know, if you've got something that you might be able to work on and you don't work on it, that's not what a guy should be known as. A guy should be known as someone that goes, cool, I've got the ability to continue to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And then those discussions and those mindsets, I think light bulb moments for some guys in culture where they go, okay, you know, oh, other guys are doing that, and guys that are at breweries and guys that, you know, watch footy and have beers, and okay, so maybe that is something that guys do, and just kind of change the culture through that.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. I love it. So can you tell me a little bit about your experiences that you've had? You and I talked the other day, and I love some of the things that you were saying about the Australian culture and some of the Aboriginal culture, things like that. Can you expound on those things a little bit and just tell everyone a little bit what it's like down there in terms of like masculine, feminine perceptions and that sort of thing?
Yeah, well, one of the things with the culture that I wanted to change with guys is be more inclusive. And I think what happens is we aren't generally that inclusive just from a I talk about culture and generations because I think that a lot of it is subconscious, that it's just how we're grown up. We don't choose to not do that. Whereas if we can then identify blokes culture as being inclusive, I think it goes its way. And the Aboriginal culture for us is Aboriginals. They're our native Australians, I guess in terms. And one of the things that I want to do is learn from their culture and be inclusive with them, using the modern bloke and blokes and brews as a catalyst, because then we build empathy. And it's not about sympathy, and it's not about feeling that I'm better than them, because it's genuinely saying, you're a brother, you've got a different culture. Let's join via what we've got in common. And then I want to learn about what's different, not the other way, which is divide by based on difference and ignore what we have in common. And to the point that, yeah, you know, we've got a lot of, Aboriginal guys that, you know, comment that are engaged in the modern bloke and blokes and brews. And I want to do merchandise which has the Aboriginal culture and heritage from it.
Amazing, the tribal art.
Yeah, the tribal art tells stories, and I think that's a great way to connect, and actually looks really beautiful. So you can combine art with actually being able to tell a story, and I'd love to get a guy to tell a story through about, you know, their community and learn from them.
That's so cool.
Actually do it in football. We have an Indigenous round, and nearly every team I mean now has an Indigenous player at least on it, just through, not through quotas, but through the fact that
like we
they're freaks of football, and it's naturally, you know, and then, but the AFL, the footy teams, they just embrace them. So they actually want to go up and play and get better. So each Indigenous round, one of the Indigenous players, they get to design the jumper.
Cool.
So each round, you know, and I think that's just a great way to really embed, break down the barriers in culture, because you've got young kids growing up, and even myself and others, where that it's a collective different every year. It's a collective. So you've actually got guys that aren't in that Aboriginal culture buying their team's jumpers, knowing that it's not some corporate saying, you know, this tested well in a marketing campaign right. type thing. Or
a story from somebody in your hometown.
Yeah. Saying that, you know, this is what means to me and my family, and this is the story. And it's the same kind of design as the jumpers as well as, you know, the team jumpers.
That's cool.
And it just really embeds that culture. I think that's how society needs to move forward.
Yeah.
And we're saying with breweries, even with women, the gay community, in that's why I love about breweries is everyone's just there for the beer.
And you can create you can have a conversation about the beer, no matter who it is that's there. Like, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I like this beer, I don't like this beer, and starting from there and getting to know somebody, you know. I think I told you when we talked before, but like some of my best friends that I've met internationally, we met through beer. We met at breweries. We met, you know, sitting at the bar alone. And then we would just start talking because, like, oh, you're traveling, I'm traveling. Like, let's talk, let's chat, you know, where are you from?
Oh, yeah.
And so, so beer has always just brought me together with really unexpected people.
I did a quick story.
Yeah, go for it.
I moved to the other side of Australia about 6 years ago. And then I moved back, but, I went to Fremantle because of the brewery culture. And I went there at one of their beers and at one of their breweries to watch the football. And I walked up and the bartender said, oh, you know, what do you normally drink? And I said, I won't say the brand name, it's a corporate brand name. And he's like, we don't say that here. We don't say those words here.
Nice.
So he took me through and I had a bit of a chat to him. And then I sat down by myself on a table and started watching the footy. And a couple of guys came up and said, you know, can we jump in and just sit down? There was three of them. I said, yep, no problem. So I was chatting to them and then said, this is my first night out in the area. I don't know anyone. I had a chat. They brought us a couple of beers. And then after the game, they're like, we're going out for dinner. Did you want to come out? We went to another brewery, Little Creatures. And it was all communal tables and we had a great night. And I just love that culture.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of mental illness and guys, especially around depression and loneliness, I just think that that's the culture that's going to fix that.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know how it is down there, but a lot of the breweries here in the US are doing really positive things for their communities. They're creating beers that they use the profits to impact or improve some kind of nonprofit organization or something like that. They're getting involved in their communities and having events at their breweries that help to better their community in some way or another, whether it's pet adoptions or donation drives for food, like food or clothing drives, things like that. You know, these breweries do positive things. I've seen fights happen at bars, but I've never seen a fight happen at a brewery.
Not 100%. We're a little bit behind in the growth of the industry to America, which is why I love following all the American pages because it gives me foresight. We do a lot around sustainability in Australia with the breweries. You know, they do a lot about that. And a lot when COVID hit, a lot of the breweries turned into making sanitizer. Mm-hmm. Did really well. But and a shout out then to Bojack. I think this is what I was drinking when we had the chat. So Bojack Brewery in Dandenong. Yep. which to anyone outside of Melbourne would make no sense, but that's one of my favorite breweries, and they're actually doing for men's mental health, they're doing a beer which has it on the can about, you know, opening up and talking to people.
Yep.
And they're going to then donate $1 for every can to mental health charities.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So yeah, and that's coming out soon, so I've been working with them on that, and just the fact
so exciting.
It's amazing. I think that's why I love the brewery community, because it's inclusivity, but they've got their own community. That's what they want people to come in and be like that. So anything that can strengthen that is actually a good business proposal for them and better for the community. And as you said, don't see the fights and stuff. But you go to breweries, communal tables are amazing, and you'll have 18-year-olds getting, you know, having a couple of drinks before they head out. You'll have like the amount of like I'll go out on a date with the fiance to a brewery and it's actually a really nice night out or some mates. But then you'll have like an elderly couple that'll be there, you know, with a glass of wine and some mussels or something like that. Even at 80, so it's just a plethora of you can have a hen's night or a bucks party on a table that's next to a couple with a 2-year-old.
That's actually one of my. So one of my favorite things about Germany is the beer halls, where you go and you just sit at these big long tables and just hang out with people you don't know. I ended up sitting next to this when I went to Munich to visit a friend of mine. I ended up sitting next to this older woman. She was probably like 70, been around Munich for a while. And she taught me how to drink from the big liter steins. You know, she was just like, oh yeah, you just rest it on your wrist here and you drink it. And she was like, but don't let the guys see you do that because they're going to call you a pussy.
I did Oktoberfest, I did Germany twice, and just loved it. Yeah. And I think that's the difference is I think generationally, if you go too far away from that and just go to pubs and just drinking corporate beer and you don't enjoy it. So you drink copious amounts and you're there to watch the footy and you don't talk.
It's a much more dreary experience for sure. It's like, it's just going there as more like a means to an end rather than something that's like an experience and like an event, you know?
And every time you go, every month, every year, it then becomes ingrained in the culture and it becomes strengthened that, okay. And then the next kind, you know, when then your kids come in and start going, they go, okay, well, this isn't just a standard. Mm-hmm. It's about going, no, that's not what breweries are originally about. You said, you know, go to Bavaria, you go to, you know, even the pubs in England, when, you know, the oldie England, it was all about jovialness. Yeah. And about connection, and everyone knew everyone, and it was about helping everyone and the community. It was everyone from the town would go in there and celebrate and help each other out and you know, become friends. And the more you drink, the more that probably gets strengthened with a lot of it. But absolutely. And that's the culture you want. And then you get a better relationship and appreciation with beer, and then that becomes less for guys in society to have alcohol problems.
Yeah.
And because they get a better relationship, better communication, and then that's better for society. And that's where with my workshops, we address that full on and say, you know,
yeah,
it's not about canceling beer for guys. It's about getting a better appreciation relationship so that you don't get into issues.
Yeah. That's one of our main things too, is just making sure that, and I like to say drink smart. You know, it's not about going and getting drunk. It's about going and learning to appreciate beer and like how it's made, why it's made, you know, the different flavors and all that, and being able to have that conversation. But then also for that to lead to other conversations. And so you're not going anymore to the pub for the beer. You're going to the pub for the communication, community.
Yep.
So yeah, so that's kind of the whole idea behind it. And man, I just love that you and I are so much on the same page in that aspect and trying to like make that thing, that similar kind of thing happen. And the crazy thing is you and I are both 36 years old.
Yes, yeah. Both divorced now.
And divorced. And so you're basically my doppelganger on the other side of the world.
I like it. I think what you had said about the culture of the talking, and that's a massive one about the culture. So I'll just, the two last workshops that I did online, because I do weekly catch-ups, the biggest feedback that I get from guys, and this is the intent of Blokes and Brewers in the Brewery, is that they're able to talk about judgment,
mm-hmm.
that, and they're able to talk about it being too serious. So the issue that I guess culturally we're like, guys don't talk, you go to the pub and you don't talk.
Yeah.
We tell guys to open up. But the spaces we kind of create them become an intimidating circle. And it could be like a guy's group in, you know, where it looks like it feels like an Alcoholics Anonymous, but you're just talking about your feelings. And mm-hmm. then if you're talking too much, say, to the female demographic and they want you to maybe cry too much, you know, and I go, to me, I kind of go, this is about prevention. So if you want to break down and cry in a brewery, 100% go for it.
Yep.
If that's the emotion, but that's not expected. So it can be where you just want to get stuff off your chest. So you can sit there and go, have a couple of beers, you know, have some jokes and stuff, and then go, actually, this isn't good. This isn't good. The blokes will get around you. Here's, have you thought about this? Have you done that? That's no good. Look, yep. chat to me on Tuesday. How are you feeling now? Oh, it's great to get off my chest. Cool, let's have another beer.
That's great. Like,
and that's gonna be more preventative rather than a guy thinking, I've never opened up to anyone before. Mm-hmm. And if my first time, or if I'm expected to do it in a group full of random guys that I don't know, and it's supposed to end in, you know, fully unpacking on trauma, like I'm at a psychologist, they're just not gonna do it.
Yeah. It's more like a slowly building trust kind of thing.
And
I mean, on top of all that, it's like creating a space where you're creating these friendships and all of that is so much more accessible for people here in the US, at least. I don't know how expensive therapy is down there.
Very.
You know, like it's one of those things that therapy is not very accessible for most people, you know. And so it's all about creating these spaces where we can like have a similar kind of interaction and start to work through those daily problems without having to spend our entire paycheck on our mental health, you know.
Yeah, mental health is, it's actually, it's accessible in the fact that our government gives, so you can go to your doctor and get a mental health check done, and then you get 10 subsidized sessions, which probably halves it. So it ends up being about $80 to $90 a session. Sorry?
Which is still pretty significant for a lot of people.
No, and that's the issue. And what I found through myself going to psychologists, and we've got actually a company that we work with called Bloke Psychology, and they're amazing. What I find is preventative, those discussions that you can generally have at the brewery, which is just work's a bit stressful, there's issues with the partner, you know, health's a little bit, just those little things that just discussing them and having a sounding board will solve a lot of the issues, because once you talk it out, you're like, shit, that's so much better.
Exactly.
We do training with guys in our workshops. That's the workshop we do at the breweries at the start, and we do it with staff where we go, right, guys, don't fix. So if anyone's listening to this podcast that's a guy, just realize that in your relationship and in, with any of your mates talking about mental health, as guys, we're going to go, what's the solution? How can I give you a solution? Don't. Listen. 75% of what you do to that person is listening, and that's the solution, including your partner. Where I have with my partner, and still with your mates, where you just go, when they go, start talking about something, and you just stop and go, look, am I listening or am I fixing this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's important, because if they just might want you to listen.
Yeah.
If you go to naturally try and fix it, you just go, and half the time, if you listen, they're going to create their solutions themselves. Or they're going to voice it out and realize, shit, it's not that bad, and I've got this. And that'll relieve anxiety or depression, and go, shit, actually, you know, work's bad, but I could probably talk to my boss about this. Or in reality, it's not that bad because of this, this. And they go, oh, now I feel better. Cool. Exactly. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Yeah, I usually go into those conversations. If somebody expresses concerns to me, I usually will ask them, do you need me to listen, or do you want advice?
Yep.
I ask them straight up, like, which are you seeking right now? So if you need me to listen, I will sit here and listen. But if you need advice, I'll tell you my thoughts and I'll tell you what I think. But like, ultimately, it's up to you, you know. But yeah, that's really awesome, man. I love that.
Best advice I could give to people that are listening, because it's a game changer. And yeah,
cool, man. Well, yeah, I'm loving this conversation, but we're coming up on time, and I'm actually starting something new here. Do you guys have last call in Australia?
So, most places, yeah.
Okay, so I want to start this with you. Let's do last call. It's last call. So this is your opportunity to tell everybody about yourself and where they can find you, a little bit about what your plans are and all of that. So go ahead and spill the beans, man. Tell us.
Cheers. Well, as I said, Sean Coffin from my main page is The Modern Bloke, which is just around men's mindsets and just that cultural thing. But the page for this is Blokes and Brews, just with an N. And it's just about creating that environment we've spoken about. goals for Blokes and Brews is to have every brewery on the first week of every month to have a Blokes and Brews night where people can go. They know that that night, the people there are there to listen. But also, if you go to a community and you move states, countries or whatever, you look at your brewery and you go, I need to meet new guys. I'm going to go there on that day. I'm going to introduce myself. Say, I'm Sean. I'm just moved to San Antonio, Texas. Who wants a beer? And if I don't want to talk and I'm a bit nervous, then everyone there is just going to say, hey, Sean, do you want to chat? I go, not today. And they're just going to still include me and still just allow me to sit there. And then that'll be that's the goal of Blokes and Brews. And then to get over to San Antonio, Texas, at some breweries paying for it. And you can come to Melbourne, some brewery can pay for it.
Yeah, man. Come on out. Let's do it.
So that's my last call.
Cool. Perfect. Yeah, man. And I have a feeling that you and I are going to be talking a lot here in the future.
Definitely.
But yeah, and I really want to thank you so much for joining me and just telling everybody a little bit about yourself and what you're doing, man.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll talk very soon. Yep.
Cheers. And cheers to your listeners.
Yes.
I want to thank you for venturing into the dark blue with us today, where we're always striving to foster a community of peers which empowers mental wellness, positive growth, and social awareness. If you like what we're doing and would like to support our community, you can purchase a pint glass or t-shirt from Sheath Underwear via the link on our merch tab at www.intothedarkblue.com or message us to make a one-time donation. All proceeds go to men's mental wellness initiatives. If you ever need a listening ear, feel free to message us on the website or at @into_the_darkblue on Instagram. If you have an emergency or need help from a professional therapist, we offer several resources on our Get Help page. Last but not least, know your limits and drink smart. Cheers.